KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a partly sunny sky and 79 degrees. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. An excessive heat warning continues today for the entire listening area. We look for it to be partly cloudy, hot and humid, a high of 97, with a heat index around 110. In the news, police in Creston Wednesday afternoon arrested an Adams County man on a Union County warrant for delivery of a Schedule II controlled substance, that being less than 5 grams of methamphetamine. 26-year-old Anthony Cross of Corning was taken into custody at around 3:30 p.m. and brought to the Union County Jail, where his bond was set at $10,000. Also arrested Wednesday in Creston was 32-year-old Jared Wilmoth of Creston, who was taken into custody for operating a vehicle without the owner's consent. Wilmoth was being held in the Union County Jail on a $2,000 bond. Creston police said also that two Creston residents had reported separate incidents of theft and vandalism. A resident living in the 300 block of Birch Street told police someone entered a vehicle parked near his home and took a pair of sunglasses and an empty pill bottle. The loss was estimated at $16. The incident happened sometime Tuesday into Wednesday, and a resident of the 500 block of Levi Street in Creston reported Wednesday that sometime between noon and 6 p.m. that day, someone slashed both front tires of his vehicle while it was parked in the Creston Fairway store parking lot. The loss estimated at $200. Sizzling summer days are with us for the next few days into the weekend. Basically, all of Iowa from Interstate 80, the counties along that north and south, are in a excessive heat warning from noon until 8 p.m. each day through Saturday. Meteorologist Mindy Behrens of the National Weather Service says the highs in the region will reach the mid to upper 90s, but it'll get worse.
Temperatures on Thursday and Friday may be pushing close to 98 to 100 degrees down in southwestern portions of Iowa. That can mean, combined with the dew point, heat index values right around maybe 110, 111. So definitely that southwest corner down towards Clarinda, Shenandoah, Red Oak, those areas look like they'll be the hottest in the state.
Much of northwest Iowa and parts of central and eastern Iowa are under a heat advisory also through Saturday. Forecasters say we'll have to endure the steamy weather for at least 3 days and maybe four.
See a little bit of relief into Saturday. Temperatures into the mid-90s versus the upper 90s across the southern portion of the state. Heat index values 100 to 105, just combined with kind of the previous 3 days. That one is still something to watch. And then we'll have a cold front move through Saturday night, and we'll see temperatures back into the 80s for Sunday.
And while the heat index doesn't hit 110 very often in Iowa, Behrens says it's relatively typical to have a hot spell like this.
Usually we see heat headlines maybe once or a few times per summer, especially here into mid-July, even into early August tends to be the times when most likely to see those heat warnings and heat advisories across the state.
Iowa's tall corn may be partly to blame. Behrens says the mature corn plants are starting to pump a lot of moisture into the air, and when combined with more moisture streaming up from the Gulf of Mexico, heat indices are climbing into the red zone. It's the hottest week of the year so far, and some Iowans are finding no swimming signs posted on their nearby beaches, thwarting hopes of cooling off with a dip. One such body of water is Green Valley Lake State Park at Green Valley State Park, just north of Creston. Amanda Husband, an environmental health specialist in Union County, says there's no swimming at Green Valley Lake until further notice.
Fishing will be fine. We just advise folks to make sure that they're cleaning their fish of all their guts and stuff with clean water, and then cooking them to the proper temperature.
The problem is known as microcystin toxin, which is a byproduct of blue-green algae.
Some lakes are really nutrient-rich lakes, and that causes the algae to make blooms, and those blooms can give off toxins. And those toxins are what we test for to advise folks not to swim.
Coincidentally, the hot weather that prompts many of us to head for the water is exactly the reason why we can't go swimming.
I would expect that the problem will persist until we have cooler temperatures and some rain. If it's any indication, as in the previous years, we could probably see this problem all throughout late summer and into early fall.
And that toxin, by the way, can be just as dangerous for pets as it is for people.
There is a walking trail around there, so pets get that algae on their paws and on their coats, and if they lick that algae off, they can get a really high concentration of it, and it can be deadly to their pets.
Check with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources website at iowadnr.gov for details on the waterways nearest you. Thunderstorms have powered through northern and northeast Iowa, damaging homes, buildings, and crop fields. The National Weather Service has wind gusts up to 75 miles per hour, and heavy rain were reported Wednesday evening in several locations, and a tornado was reported 2 miles west-southwest of Fort Atkinson. No injuries have been reported. Residents and officials reported trees and power lines were knocked down, leaving hundreds of people without electricity. Officials say the city of McGregor was hard hit, sustaining damage to its city hall and several other structures downtown. Authorities said a semi trailer was toppled on Interstate 35 near Hanlontown, and a man was taken to a hospital in Waukon after his barn blew over, pinning him inside until rescuers arrived. Those same storms moved over to western Wisconsin, also causing numerous damage incidents. An Iowa Army veteran is hoping to spread the word about post-traumatic stress disorder by running across the state. During the run in September, Joshua Jorgensen will be wearing a military-issued gas mask. I told KCRG-TV that the mask represents the struggle many veterans face on a daily basis.
It says, I'm struggling with those same things, but I'm getting up every day and I'm doing this and I'm putting myself in even bigger struggle. Because I know there's an end, and I know I can make it through it. So can you.
Jorgensen is part of Team Fidelis, a nationwide group working to end the epidemic of veteran suicide. Jorgensen, who lives in Adel just west of Des Moines, has been training for the past 6 months for the September run, which is a total of 330 miles. He's hoping to complete the run in 10 days or less, running over 30 miles a day, beginning in Council Bluffs and ending in Burlington. The City of Atlantic's Community Development Committee will meet next Tuesday, July 25th at 5:30 p.m. in the Council's chambers at City Hall. Their two topics of discussion include tourism promotion and mandatory garbage service. The latter is the result of action taken by the Cass County Environmental Control Agency Landfill Board this past Tuesday. During that meeting, the board voted to implement a per capita assessment for 28E members for the fiscal year 2018-19. The fee amounts to $12 per household per year, or about $1 per occupant per month. Based on a county population of 14,000, the money generated from the assessment amounts to roughly $168,000 per year, which will allow the Cass County Landfill to remain open because it's no longer sustainable based solely on user fees. Landfill is still dealing with a leak on the backside of the facility that occurred 2 years ago and will now require the extraction and pumping of leachate before it leaves the property. That process is expected to cost an initial $500,000 to clean up, plus $50,000 per year afterward to maintain. And the landfill will have to construct another cell at a cost of roughly $400,000. An engineer study determined the best way to keep up with the costs associated with running the landfill and meeting DNR requirements is to go ahead with a per capita assessment, which again will not go into effect until the 2018-19 fiscal year. The move allows city and county governments to take time to enact a means of collecting the fee. The Iowa West Foundation's Board of Directors recently approved more than $4 million in grants and initiatives funding to 22 nonprofit organizations and government entities in southwest Iowa and eastern Nebraska. The Council Bluffs Community School District received $404,000 for an initiative funding to continue implementing the International Baccalaureate Middle School program at both the Kern and Wilson Middle Schools. Tri-Center Schools received $50,000 to launch their preschool program for three-year-olds and start a before and aftercare program for students in the district. AHSDW Community Schools received a $85,492 Iowa West Foundation grant to purchase equipment in support of their career and technical education programming. And Pottawatomie County received $222,500 for the implementation of a rural recycling center located just north of Oakland. The centralized location will offer recycling to rural Pottawatomie County residents for the first time and allow for the sale of items that can be repurposed, such as construction material and paint, items that were previously deemed waste. In addition, the foundation awarded nearly $50,000 to five Pottawatomie County fire departments as part of its ongoing commitment to rural southwest Iowa communities. The Avoca, Neola, Tri-Center, or rather Trainer and Volunteer Fire Departments, and Macedonia Fire and Rescue each received $10,000, and the Minden Fire and Rescue Department received just under $10,000 for equipment upgrades. You can view a list of the grant recipients under this same story on the news page at KJAN.com. The news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.